as we give the men the opportunity also to participate. Isaiah chapter 53. I think we've said this many times before, and you may know from your own information that this is a passage that the Jewish people do not read. And our dear brother Paul Tidbo always asked the people, well, of whom is the prophet speaking? And he would often ask them this question because he knew that they didn't know anything. But this was the chapter that would alert them to the fact that this is the Messiah. So let's pay attention as I read this, please. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before them, him in as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like his sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. May the Lord just bless that portion of his word, and I invite my brethren to come and lead us in prayer, or suggest a hymn to us, or come and make some comments as the Lord has led you. Thank you kindly.
Just briefly, I want to look at a couple passages and how nice that passage Pastor read in. just ties right in. If we look at back at what Pastor was reading in Isaiah 53, and if we look at verse 2 through verse 5, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." But, we learned about the buts this morning, "he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." And in verse 6, look what we did. But if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And chapter 6, verses 9 through 20, just talk about the body as holy. It's a temple. And we should be aware of that. But I just was thinking earlier about the price that was paid for each and every one of us and how he died for us. And so if we just skip ahead to verse 19 and 20, it says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which ye have of or from God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And we just read in Isaiah 53 what that price was. And as Pastor mentioned this morning, Christ was born knowing what his end was. And I think about that in my life, in our lives. It's like, if you knew, like sometimes we always say, "Well, I just want to see the future." Oh, we probably don't. And to think that Christ knew what was going to happen and was faithful to the point of death, even the death of the cross, is just amazing. And we're so privileged to be here tonight to remember that. And if we just flip ahead to chapter 7 and verse 23, just to echo that, it says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Thank you.
I wanted to read in two passages, Genesis chapter 1. I was thinking about this today and kind of reminded me of another passage. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, obvious that must have been when God said, let there be light, and light appeared. And it made me think of in John, when John was writing in the first chapter, how he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Just reminded me when God allowed us to see the light and saved us and redeemed us from our sins.
I just wanted to read a passage of Scripture from John 6, starting in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us this flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
I was going to suggest that we sing together the hymn. I think it's 150 coming. Here's a step in vanity and pride, hearing not my Lord was crucified, hearing not 155?
Yes.
At Calvary. Please, and remain standing for a word of prayer. Oh, the love that through salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to men, oh, the mighty call that God is found at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Heart, and there was mounted life to me. I wonder if we might pray individually and quietly before the Lord and ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts and our time around the table. You pray quietly, and when you've finished, I'll just say amen, and we sit down and then go on with the service. Shall we do that, please? So we sing this, the chorus, once again. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden saw upon liberty at Calvary. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. And the morning services, I referred to this copy of the what they call the original languages of Scripture. At least they're apographs. But I wanted to refer to the Old Testament tonight. And the text of Isaiah 53 is in here. And I just thank the Lord for texts that support what we have in our version of the Bible. And I'd like to call your attention tonight to one verse that if you were to read in here, you'd see it there, just like it is in our Bibles. It's Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. I noticed that last month we studied this portion, and I appreciate that. If you're like me, I forget. What did I preach on? What did I say? And it's good to refresh our memories of what we had studied. We studied the first part of Isaiah 53, verse 1. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I gave these particular words last time. We are comparatively sheep. I don't know if you know that's what you are, but that's the way God sees you. And it says here that we all are like sheep, so therefore it's a universal thing. Nobody can say, I'm a goat, or somebody can say, I'm a lion. He's a sheep, because God says so. We are like sheep. But it's individual. I noticed in the text of Scripture that when it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one. The word every one is ish. And ish is the word for man in the Hebrew. Every individual. It's something which causes us to be compared. And it's something universal. And it's something individual. But it's something that is very active. Because the Bible says here, all we like sheep have gone astray. And we turn every one to his own way. Everyone, nobody can say I didn't go astray. Oftentimes people ask me when they come into our home, how do you get there? And I tell them and they get lost. It's poor instructions, I guess. But we all have gone astray. It's interesting that this particular word is used in a variety of places, but one of the places it's used is in Isaiah 28, verse number 7, and it refers to a drunken man. Maybe it'd be worthwhile just turning there for a brief moment. Isaiah 28, and verse number 7. But they all have erred through wine, and through strong drink have gone out of the way. That's the word. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up with wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Very interesting that this particular word is used of a drunken man. Yeah, I don't know if you see yourself as a drunken person before the Lord, but that's what he says. You're just like a drunken person. And then this word turn comes from pana, from which we get the word for face. This is very interesting. And he says, everyone has gone his own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've had a right place, but we turned away. Did you ever have that experience when you thought you were doing the right thing and then found yourself in the wrong place? That's what all of us have done before the Lord. When I think of this, it's, the self, the people who emphasize so much of self to be something on their own. But the Lord says, all of us have made a mistake. We've all turned our own way. And that, as we're not, are we comparatively like sheep and universally all, but each individual, but actively, but this, we've done it selectively, his own way. I don't know about you or somebody sitting next to you tonight, but he has his way of getting out of the way, and the other person has his own way, but they're all out of the way, the wrong way. But each individual has selected a way to do it. I guess you can thank the Lord it wasn't so far away for you, that you were brought maybe up in a Christian home or helped by somebody. Others go really down the tube. But each in his own specific way is a derelict before the Lord. But then this is what I want to share with you tonight. In verse number 6, the last part of that verse, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I've said this before, let me say it once again so that you don't forget. If you go in the first awe, you can be sure to come out the last awe. If you're willing to go in as a person who is a derelict before the Lord, God can do something for you if you will believe the last part of that verse. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, we listen carefully because this is something that's very, very helpful. This is something that's been done cooperatively. Not between man and God, but between people in the Godhead, persons in the Godhead. The Lord has laid on him. So the Lord and him are cooperating to accomplish something for those who've gone astray. This makes us to affirm that we are not monotheists, but Trinitarian monotheists. We believe that within the Godhead there are three persons. And this Bible, in this text, is saying two of those persons, the Father and the Son, cooperated. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I don't think you've ever read Genesis 22 without saying, how in the world did Abram get that boy on that altar? I can't figure it out. I mean, we've had three boys in our family. One of them was here this morning. And to tie up one of those boys and put them on an altar. Come on. That would be a struggle indeed. Especially when Isaac had said, "Father, we see the wood and the fire and all the rest, but where's the lamb? Yeah, where's the sacrifice? Oh, you're the sacrifice. Oh boy." He must have known this. I mean, that's why I think we read in John's Gospel that he did this thing willingly. It's also in Philippians chapter 2. What a wonderful truth that is. Within the Godhead, the Father and the Son, they cooperate on this deal. I think that's what Psalm chapter 40 has to say. Behold, thou hast made me a body. And he's willing to be used in that body as a sacrifice. This is an incredible thing. Meditate on that and cause your heart to just rejoice and thank the Lord what he's done for you. There's something else that I would like to mention about this thing that, if Naomi allow me to sing, it's a little chorus that I've sung around here but haven't been for a long time. But it's based upon Ephesians chapter 1 to show the cooperation of the Godhead three to accomplish this great salvation for us. His very own wonderful love, grace in his word is made known, chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by his Spirit. I'm his very own. So the Father had his part, he chose us. The Son has his, he bore the sin for us, and the Holy Spirit applied to it to us. Since you didn't hear it so well the first time, I'll sing it again. His very own wonderful grace in his word is made known, chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. I'm his very own. You check that out in Ephesians chapter 1. It's all there. What a wonderful truth that is. And this verse says, the Lord has laid on him. By the way, the word for Lord, as you know, in our text, is from Adonai. Well, Jewish people say Adonai, but other people say Yahweh and Jehovah and all kinds of things. Jewish people are very sensitive about that. They'll never say that word. They'll refer to it as the Hashem, the name. And that's what is in this text, the Hashem, and laid on him. Bo on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You know, when you take the text, the context, we thought he was stricken of men. We thought that God was after him. And that's true, but not saying the same way as verse number 6 says. Verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he's bruised for our iniquities. But the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But go back one more. Verse 4 where it says, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem, we thought he was stricken of God, smitten of God, and he was afflicted of God. But that wasn't true. He was wounded for our transgressions. God the Father and God the Son cooperated. Don't forget that, my brother and sister. And a loving, gracious Lord Jesus took your place in mine. And that's what we're remembering tonight. But there's something deliberate here besides being cooperative. Deliberately, you notice what it says, verse number 6, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now there are various forms of the Hebrew verb. This happens to be in the causative form, the hiphthio. And the causative form, therefore, says, he caused to be laid on him the iniquity of us all. This was a causal effect by the Father to the Son. And interestingly, this particular word is translated to meet, but is also translated to fall upon. Let me read a couple of verses that deal with that particular use of the verb, to fall upon. If you have your Bible handy, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Verse and verse number 15. David called one of the young men and said, go near and fall upon him. That's the same verb. Cause, a causal form, get this man. And he smote him that he died. In other words, this particular word when it says, and the Lord laid on him, he caused him to be fallen upon of our iniquities. The Lord did this. It was a causal thing. There's another passage that might be helpful. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22, where the same verb is used. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and in a very interesting context, verses 17 and 18. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. That's the word. In verse 18, and the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Isn't that interesting? So when the Lord laid on him, he fell upon him. And it was a causal thing. It was not by accident. It was intended. So I suggested to you, there was a cooperation in the Godhead, but there was a deliberate slaying of our blessed Lord. Deliberately. Because there was no other way. I'm sure you've thought of it because of what some people say to you, but isn't there another way? I mean, why do you have to have somebody as a substitute to die for you? Why can't we do it some other way? And I think man has conceived the ways to keep the law, to do a moral thing, whatever may be the case, but never understanding that what was really necessary was the Savior to die for us. So think very strongly about, think that God the Father fell upon my Savior, His Son, for me. That's what this is all about. And it drives you to your knees and causes the heart to be moved emotionally to say, what wondrous love, how wonderful, at the cross. That's where it all happened. Blessed be His wonderful name. There's one more item that I'd like to share from that verse. It says there that the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the common word for iniquity. But I just wonder if we might divide this into three suggested items. There was sin committed. We have committed sin. So that's iniquity. But there's also sin which has incurred guilt, and God has done it for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of sin and guilt incurred. And then one more I'd like to say, punishment that was brought upon us. We deserve it. And all those things God has brought to our attention. All we like of sheep, we've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when we go there tonight and we take the cup and the bread, just remind yourself, my brother and sister, that this is what happened. The Father worked with the Son to accomplish this. He laid on him. He caused to be the Son to be fallen upon, just like in the Samuel passages. That's incredible. Within the Godhead three, that's what took place. If I can read the Bible just accurately, it's these are huge gobs of truth that sometimes whiz by our ears, but something that we need to think about. And then he did it deliberately. And the Son allowed him to do this. No man takes this life from me. I lay it down myself, says John 10. And yet here it says, yeah, but the Father saw to it that you did die, boy. There was no other way out. There's no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took everything. When you think about the iniquity of us all, goodness sake, the pile of stuff that I've done wrong in my life. You may not be as terrible as I am, but I tell you, we're a bunch of hell-bound sinners that God, in his wonderful grace, has taken away our iniquity. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, our Lord. And I trust your heart will be drawn to him tonight to remember that you will go in the first all and you come out on the last all. He bore the iniquity of us all, of you, of me, each one of us, whatever we've got to bring to the Lord. You saw our son here this morning. He's had some difficult things in his life that I guess some people would turn away from him. And for a time, he struggled with some of these things. But he was telling me at home today, he said, you know, Dad, I had to go down to the pits to be brought to our help today. And frankly, I don't think any of us will ever appreciate what the Lord has done for us until we understand how terrible we are and the awfulness of sin. Whether it's just sin or guilt or a sense of punishment that I deserve, whatever it may be. We just thank the Lord for what he's done for us. And I trust that you will appreciate Isaiah 53, verse 6, in a way you've never done before. Quote it, read it, absorb it. Let it sink into your heart. We're like sheep, all of us, individually. And we've turned, we've gone away astray. We've gone to different directions, and we've moved away from the right way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity. Don't you like the but? Praise the Lord. Yeah. God bless you, dear brother and sister. And may the Lord just bind us to him, first of all, and then to one another in the precious will of the Lord. Let's pray, please. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank thee and praise thee for the privilege to gather with the believers here tonight and once again to be reminded of what he's done for us. And as I think of all the people who are sitting before me, standing before thee, Lord, all of us, we are but sinners who have cast ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We have said he alone can save us. He alone can do what is necessary to declare us righteous before the holy God. And we just thank thee for that tonight. But we admit we are all like sheep. We've all gone our own way, our own individual ways. But God has laid on us, on him, the iniquity of us all. What a blessed truth that is. And I pray, Lord, that what the brethren have read for us from the scriptures and the hymns we've sung and this little comment on this one verse may draw out our hearts as we gather to the table and allow the Lord to continue to speak to us and tell us how much we need to say to him, I love you, Lord Jesus, for what thou hast done for me. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. Thank God I am his very own. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name I pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I'll ask the brethren to come now and we'll gather around the table.
And I'll read to you once again the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. We're just a bunch of sinners, but we're washed in the blood. Blessed be his name. And we do this tonight in remembrance of him, not for the church or for ourselves, but in remembrance of him, our blessed Lord. Before we take the bread and the cup, I wonder if we could ask our brother Bill, please, to lead us in prayer for the bread. Please, let us pray.
Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father and Lord, we bow before you tonight and we attempt, Lord, to honor you as you instructed us to, Lord. I pray for myself and each person, believer here this evening, Lord, there is anything that is between us and our Savior, and that would be resolved and removed so that we can enter in this evening in the remembrance in the proper fashion, Lord, so that we will not have anything between us. And I pray, Lord, that you will cause us to remember the price that was paid. Remember, Lord, that you did this for all of us.
Amen.
We ask that you would just honor our attempt to honor you, Lord, and lift your name up this evening. In Jesus' name.
Amen. The Lord, first of all, took the bread, and we read in the Scriptures that he broke it. And I want to just break it a piece just to indicate we follow his instructions. And as you take the one little piece of wafer, just remember, you're taking a portion of his body. As our brother read tonight from John chapter 6, unless you eat this bread and drink this cup, you don't really believe, but we believe tonight. That's why we're here. So we just trust that it may be a very great blessing to our hearts. I wonder if I may ask one of the other brethren to give us a prayer for the bread tonight before we participate. Brother Mbala, would you do that? Just give thanks for the bread, which is a token, a symbol of his body broken for us. Thank you.
bless you, Lord, and you be with us throughout this evening.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, with much thanksgiving.
Amen. God bless you, dear friends, as the brethren pass these wafers to you in remembrance of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the holy presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we as believers in Him partake of this wafer tonight, Lord, to say, we do believe, we now believe that Jesus died for us. We have no doubts about it, and we thank Thee, Lord. And I pray that by partaking of this tonight, Thou shalt be satisfied that we are following Thine instructions. When Thou dost say in Thy word, this do in remembrance of me. So we take the bread, a token and a symbol of His broken body, and we take it to our lips tonight, Lord, in faith believing that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. My brother and sister, let us eat tonight to His praise and to His glory this wafer in remembrance of Him. Brother Bill Howison, would you give praying thanks for the cup as a symbol of His precious blood which was shed for us? Thank you.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blood which you shed once for all.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you that it's more precious than that of the bulls and goats.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for your love in doing this for us. And we just pray that you will help us to remember this evening that you are there praying for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. the men pass the cups, just remember this is a symbol of his precious blood shed for us at Calvary. God bless you, dear friend. Our Lord, in that same night in which he was betrayed, after he had taken the bread, took also the cup, which he said, "This is my blood which is shed for the remission of your sins." And he said he wanted us to drink all of it in fond remembrance of him. Oh, my brother and sister, let us do that tonight with great joy and with great remembrance. Let us drink together, please. Blessed God and Father, we thank thee for the torn flesh of our blessed Lord. We try to imagine what it was like. He was beaten so cruelly and then strung upon a cross. Oh, Father, help us understand and appreciate. And to think also of his precious blood which was spilled for us. We thank thee. We open our hearts to thee, ask by the Spirit of God to help us to appreciate the way we ought. Give us understanding, Lord, and we'll thank thee. Open mine eyes that I may see these wonderful truths. And may each one of us say this, Lord, and we'll thank thee. And we do praise thee tonight, Lord, that we've had the privilege around this table tonight together to remember our blessed Lord. We thank thee. We worship thee, Lord. And Father, as the men collect the cups, even that may it be an exercise of trust in thee, that he drank the dregs. It's all done. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We thank thee, dear God. And we just pray that the preciousness of these moments will abide with us for a long, long time, and we'll remember that we met here tonight in remembrance of our Lord. We thank thee. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name I pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.